Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
Transplanting can be a dicey business. You're doing what's best for the plant by moving it, but risk it possibly not surviving the move. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our experts in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences, it's Patrick Murphy. Hello there, Murph.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm doing great. Today on GLT's Grow, we're going to have a question from Curtis in Missouri. He went to our website, WGLT.org/grow, and submitted a question there. And so this is very interesting. He says, Patrick, he transplanted a small quaking aspen tree about a foot tall this fall. And the place that he transplanted the tree is out in front of the house, and it's about 60 feet from the house in full sun. Now, he wants to know, what is the typical leaf-out date for aspen in his area in Missouri? And he's not sure it's alive right now. He says it feels like it has rooted, but he's just not sure.
Well, transplanting the quaking aspens are challenging. Can be challenging, but it's not an impossibility.
More challenging than other plants?
Yes, because clonal plant that grows in colonies. So when they spread in nature, they're spreading below ground by virtue of the network of roots.
Uh-huh.
And along those lines, the world's largest living organism is an aspen colony. And that's also the world's oldest organism. So I think that's a neat thing that we get to talk about because of the great question. So there's no way to set our watches by when the plants will show up for work, but it's just about that time.
Yeah.
And you can take your thumbnail or a blade from a pocket knife or a pruning knife and make a real gentle scratch on the surface of this tree in an inconspicuous area. And if it's green below that light gray bark area, there's some life in that transplant. Tugging on it, to see if it's attached to the ground, that's not really a test of anything other than how well you planted it.
Right? Well, I have a feeling Curtis did a good job.
That's right. I do too. So that's the way to check on that. But planting it in full sun, it was a smart thing to do because they do not like competition from other trees. And if you see that where they grow in nature, that's the only tree in the neighborhood.
So are they like, do they take out other trees if there's competition?
Well, I think what happens actually is the occurrence of fire in nature a lot of times eliminates the competition.
Oh.
And it actually provides an opportunity for the aspen to sprout off of its below ground roots.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they end up taking over by default in that case, I guess,
Okay.
Or the strongest survives. You can look at it that way, too.
I guess you could.
Yeah.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, Murph is helping Curtis in Missouri with his aspen tree.
Yeah, and he gave us some great information in the question as far as how far he had planted it from the house, and he said 60 feet.
Okay.
And I think that's a good distance for a shade tree to be from a house. But with the aspen, you want to keep in mind that they can be a short-lived tree, but they grow very quickly. So they perform, and you can literally watch them grow. They have various aspens at Arboretum across America and North America that they have, like, records for how much they grew in a year. And,
Is that fast growth part of what makes them maybe susceptible?
Well, it is, because their bark is very thin, so they can be damaged by fire easily that way, or the surface can be scabbed easily, and then there's a susceptibility of diseases and some pests that are a problem, depending upon what part of the country it grows in, because their range is vast. They grow all over the place.
Really? Because when I think aspen, I think basically Rocky Mountain area.
Yeah.
And anytime you see a picture of an aspen, it's in the fall because they're so glorious looking.
Yeah, they have wonderful fall color, which is typically a golden yellow. And atypical, you get orangey reds.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows the kind of independent character of the aspen, because there might be two clonal colonies that you're seeing from your front porch in Silverthorn, Colorado, and they change colors at different times. The leaves turn green at different times. But one thing they all do at the same time is they quake in the slightest of wind. and their leaf is two-toned. It's kind of green and bright colored on one side and a little white, gray, dusty color on the bottom. And it's attached to the branch with a flat petiole rather than a round one. So it's like a sail in the wind. So the slightest little wind, that's where the name comes from. Even the genus and species has character. Populus tremloides, so trembling, is in the species nomenclature there. It's just a really neat tree, and I hope he has a lot of luck, but I think that he would have more luck if there were more aspens where he's planting them because they like the company of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't like but the don't competition put anything of else other there. Trees. Right.
you got to commit to the aspen if you're going to put that in your yard.
That's right.
Because they want to be number one.
And if you're lucky enough to have a space where you could have aspen, you know, the scale is right, or if you had a slope that was gravelly or rocky, like you said, Laura, you've seen them that way in nature, that's what they like.
Yes.
So if you had that on your property, it'd be a great place to enjoy that tree. And something else that's nice about them is, you know, they grow quickly, we know that, and they have this fantastic presentation whenever the leaves are there. But if you're close enough to be there, you can hear that. There's a leaves make a sound in the wind, and it's very nice, and something to appreciate, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Now, Murph, what if, you know, we have the worst case scenario here, and Curtis, in spite of all his hard work, this aspen did not survive the winter. What suggestion do you have for him? Should he start all over with a grove of aspens? Should he give up on aspens? What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, so if he tries the quaking aspen and he doesn't have any luck, and I bet he's going to have luck, actually, because they're very adaptable. I mean, they grow all over the place, and south, east, and west.
He needs to be a little more patient for it to leaf out, then.
But the good news is you can easily find replacements and or more company. And if...
Is it an expensive tree?
It's not. It grows quickly. And it's widely available. You know, you can buy like a bare root tree in the mail. There's a 2 to 3 foot bare root tree for like $8.
$8 for a tree? How tall is it?
It's bare root, right? So they've used water pressure to wash the soil away from the roots.
Uh-huh.
But it's a stem with roots in a plastic bag. And it comes to your house and you must add it to the earth and water it and perhaps put some staking and some protection around it so the squirrels and the deer don't devour it.
Oh, yeah. If it's right. that small, then right. yeah.
But there's lots of other relatives of in the poplar group. You know, there's like four big ranges. So they're the ones that are common. If we've ever traveled in Europe, you've seen them, whether you knew what you were looking at or not. They're just all over Europe and Italy, and they've lined streets and parks with them, and they define boundary lines with them, and they have to be replanted because they grow quickly, and a lot of times quick, soft trees are susceptible to disease and wind damage and stuff like that. So, you know, there are other varieties that you could try that might not be exactly a quaking aspen, but they still have some of the same features.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing quakes like the quaking aspen, though.
Well, all right. Well, I mean, it's got that to go, you know, in its favor, so that would be good.
And there are some that are lesser in size and have very nice features, including weeping habit. And you still get the nice fall color. You still get a little bit of the quaking, just not as prolific as the namesake.
Okay. Right? All right. So he just be a little bit more patient. It's going to start leafing out pretty soon.
Yeah. If he just transplanted it, remember this, sleep, creep, and leap. So first season, not much is happening. Second season, the creeping is going on below ground and maybe a little bit above ground. And then that final season, it should hit the ground running.
Okay. Well, as far as trees can run.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck, Curtis, with your quaking aspen tree. Next week, we're going to talk about color combinations in the garden on GLT's Grow. And if you've got a gardening question or problem that you would like Murph to take on, just go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form and send it along to us. And hopefully Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. Here we are in springtime a bit. There's a lot of great questions out there. We'd love to hear from you. Just submit those questions online right now at wglt.org/grow.